Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got this slow and slogging along on her computer, Sarah.
What? Thanks, Will. We got the curious Kevin.
That doesn't even have it. I guess that works.
Sounds the
same. We have the marvelous Melissa.
We have the jubilant Jonah.
We have the caring Katie.
And the, I don't know, the winning Will.
The winning Will.
Boy, I don't know.
Wiley.
Wiley.
We are rough at this.
I'm
going to be honest. Y'all threw that at me because I haven't been on a podcast in a while. What is happening?
Welcome back, Katie. Thanks for joining us tonight. Having lots of fun. We just got finished recording our viewpoints video. First time we've ever done one of these. We're just making up stuff as we go here. And we all shared our own personal viewpoints about one specific game that's coming out that's been a secret that I haven't been allowed to talk about. It's been killing me. We might as well talk about it right now.
Poor Will.
Red Rising from Stonemaier Games. Ooh.
Love it.
Jonah's on the board. The quick reactions with the audio.
You already know it. If I could figure out the other sounds on this board, I would be doing way more.
Fire.
But I don't know how to work it.
Jonah, what'd you think of Red Rising?
I liked the game. Stonemaier Games, so I was really excited. They put out a lot of good ones, and so I was really excited to be able to play this one. I've played it a bunch of times. It plays up to six people, so
it's
I was already excited about that. Like, okay, cool, six people. Like, that's awesome. So I played it at four players first, maybe five players. Then I played it at two players. So it's a hand management game, and basically the gist of the game is you're trying to just get these bonuses from your cards. You're trying to, like, link cards together that give you more bonuses. And so I don't actually like playing the game at two players or really three, because I don't feel like enough cards get rotated through in the game. And so you might be really interested in having a certain type of card, a certain name of a card, or a certain color, and it just might not show up. For instance, like, I know you guys played it this tonight.
Yeah,
you guys
lots of six players.
And there was like 10 to 15 cards in the banished pile thrown out of the game.
12 at the end of the game.
12 at the
end of the game. Because my card got negative points for every banished card.
Way to go.
At two players, I've played where there's like two cards being banished. But I've also played at five players when there are like 20 cards being banished. So it just can tell you how many more cards can move. So I like the game. It's fun. But I think you need more players. You need, like, four is like the sweet spot.
I agree. Four is amazing.
Yeah, four is the sweet spot.
There's a lot of cool stuff going on. The game is based on a series of novels, which I haven't read. I think, Kevin, have you?
I'm in the middle of reading the first trilogy.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the
first trilogy?
Yes. Whoa. So there's the first trilogy, which is the first three books. He's currently working on a sequel trilogy.
Wow.
Yeah, which has like...
Is it a prequel?
I'm pretty sure it continues the story.
Okay, which
I didn't want to read too much into it, but I was like, I want to know, is it continuing? And I did see that it is continuing the story. So I'm very interested in it. Once I finish, I'm in the middle of book two of the trilogy. And the theme is, it's a captivating theme. With this, basically this guy at the bottom, this lowborn, basically like a slave in this world, this dystopian universe.
Are they on Mars?
They are on Mars.
Okay.
And he's actually a person who mines helium, the special, resource for
a gas.
Yeah. that's what they use to, you know, create and do things in the society. It's like a very special resource. And he basically is able to infiltrate the elites, which are the golds. It's a caste system. Golds are at the top, and the reds are at the bottom. And there's like, I don't know, Melissa, I don't remember how many colors.
Like 14 maybe different caste colors.
Yeah, 14. And they're like genetically modified to have these colors.
The people, the characters themselves are these colors?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of infiltrating? Is he like sneaking? Is there like...
How did he change his color?
Do you want me to spoil a little bit about it?
No, I mean, because I want to read them.
I do.
You kind of want to know how to
I would take my headstone
okay,
off.
Okay, take your head. Spoiler alert.
Okay, spoiler alert. So real quick, he is basically carved because they can genetically engineer things on your body and things like that. So he...
Android?
No, it's human. Okay. I mean, because he still has like blood and all that.
Is it more like Borg?
Yeah, it's more like
implants.
Yeah, implants. Yeah, that's a good idea. But he basically is carved into a gold.
What?
And people see him as a gold now.
Cool.
And he infiltrates as a gold. So you can come back, Katie.
Katie.
She's working hard with her ears plugged, humming to herself. Silently. So anyway, he's able to infiltrate, and basically where I'm at, he's basically in.
He told her she could come back, and then like, and then
no, it's fine. And I mean, that's the general overview. Is
interesting.
That
so how does the game
right?
Compare
What's
to the
theme? Tie-in? How does the theme fit
I
with
wish
the mechanics?
There was a card that showed us that part because there is a red there? Card. I wish there was a
right. If you look closely expansion. At that card,
what?
Oh, really?
Oh, all right.
I didn't know to look.
There
close.
We go.
Okay. So anyway, do you know who the main character is? His name's Darrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the game, the theme, I think, does translate into the board game, not in like you're playing Red Rising. It's not like, oh, I'm playing the story. I'm a character and I'm playing this epic story. It's more of looking at it as a general overview of the series, the book series, and you are controlling a house. And that really hones in on the Institute, which is there are basically different tracks you're going up in the game, the fleet track, the Institute track, getting helium. And that Institute track is basically you're putting cubes up there, but you are controlling a house of characters, and those characters, how they interplay with each other is like basically the character development in the books is really important in how people interplay with each other. So I think that's where the theme really does well.
So it's a good mix. If you know the books, you obviously pick up on additional details that we were missing. Sounds pretty cool. Might have to read the books.
Do you think it actually helps you play the game better?
Are you winning because you read the book?
Well, he didn't win tonight.
I beat him.
Right. No.
With 12 negative.
Sarah definitely dominated in this.
But it was my normal, I beat everybody the first time I play a game.
That is Sarah's MO. For
and
sure.
then not ever again.
Well, I will say this game is all about, you're getting points from all those different tracks, like I said, but the main part of the game are that card interaction. If you're not doing well in the cards, if you're not getting the card you need, you're not going to do well in the game. You're getting hundreds of points from those cards.
Yes.
And you're getting tens of dozens of points from those other tracks.
Other things, yeah. Yeah. I played it, it was definitely, this is the type of game where you can, it's kind of multi-purpose cards. Like you may take the action at the bottom when you're laying it down, or you may be able to make the match and get the big points at the end, which I very much enjoyed. There's a lot of reading in the game, which I think you were saying it actually, if you play it a couple times, it does improve. You're able to remember those things.
You know what certain colors do. Melissa can probably speak to that a little bit more.
Yeah, like the blues are going to be involved in the fleet track, and the oranges and the grays are going to help you complete other cards because you can turn them into other things at the end of the game. Golds are going to be really powerful and situational of how you can use them. So
now we're playing with the collector's edition, I noticed, written on the box. Yes. Those gold cards are pretty sweet.
I really like the gold foil that they put on all those. And it's not just like, oh, they play, like it's like swirly.
Right, they did some
there.
Nice stuff with it.
I was like, oh, those are sweet. Yeah.
So the collector's edition, as I understand it, is only going to be available from Stone Meyer's website.
You're correct.
So you can only order it direct from them, but there will be regular editions of the game available through retail. So depending on which version of the game you want, you can get it different ways.
Yeah, I don't know what the differences are between them, but I definitely, I mean, it's got some nice pieces, some nice weight. Yeah, I mean, this one seemed like a sharp game for sure.
You don't get those card trays.
No.
Katie's favorite part of the game is card trays.
Slightly small card trays.
I struggled to keep my cards in those card trays.
There's a hand limit in the game of like 7, 8, what is it?
No,
there's no hand limit.
But if you had extra like Sarah did, she had 8 at the end of the game.
There's
she's getting
negative
10 points. Yeah. But if your card is at least 10 points,
it's worth it. 40 points off the bonus.
Yeah, you're getting 40 points off
right.
a card.
I think they definitely designed the trays for the standard hand. And then as soon as you start adding
I'm not even sure the standard
two more
hand.
Cards.
The standard hand does not even fit in the tray comfortably.
And I will say, Melissa kept bumping it over.
I've played a few games where my tray is like, might might as well just throw it off the game.
The whole game?
I have bumped this over.
I just
times.
Hold the cards in my hand now.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure next time I play, I'm literally just going to hold them in my hand. I think it's going to be
keeping
easier.
It simple.
The tokens, most of the tokens in the collector's edition are metallic or metal, and they're plastic or wooden in the...
Plastic.
I know, but there's other components too. I don't know if they're all plastic. Like the Sovereign token, I'm not sure what that is in the base game. They insert is in the collector's edition, things like that. So there's definitely an upgraded thing in the collector's edition, which is pretty cool. I will say, you know, Stonemaier Games has put out very quality games over the years. Wingspan, Scythe, Tapestry, Pendulum, Viticulture, Euphoria, Red Rising. And I'm saying, like, where would I place Red Rising right now if you had to ask me?
That's a tough one.
Place it as in the component quality or the gameplay.
The gameplay.
There's different ways.
Just in general. I mean, you got to like, it's an overall package, right?
We want the hot take, Kevin.
Hot take. So Scythe and Wingspan are already at the top of my list. Scythe is almost probably my top 10 list. Top 10 games.
Of all time.
Wingspan. I love playing Wingspan. I know Jonah really enjoys it with some of the new expansions that have come out. Pendulum was sort of like, I enjoyed it, but it was definitely the lower. So I will say, I like Red Rising better than Pendulum and Tapestry, not as much as Wingspan Scythe. So it's right in the middle.
Number three.
Yeah, probably number three.
Can we talk for a second about how Jamie was on an interview with us during TantrumCon and says that there's going to be a Wingspan expansion for each continent?
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Can we talk about that for a moment?
That's really exciting.
I want to play Africa and Antarctica so bad.
But how many birds are in Antarctica, though?
That's penguins. Penguins.
Different
all
types
penguins.
Of penguins. Well, there's,
I'm so excited.
There's gulls, right?
Yeah, there's seagulls and other...
Seagulls?
Albatross.
Yeah.
What about walruses? Seagulls. Are those birds? They could be.
Get some sea walrus birds in there.
Yeah, they just don't have wings.
I have to say, though, if you are not on the Wingspan Facebook group, there is some crazy things that you learn that group. I did not know that Big Bird is different in other countries, and it is nightmarish how different some of them are.
You don't know about this, Katie?
They're no.
Colors, Katie. Bring it up,
they're
Sarah.
Different colors.
It does seem
scary.
Like alternate reality. Like, you look at it and you're like, I can see this.
Why
being
would
Big
they
Bird.
Change Big Bird?
There's only one that makes sense.
So
the Brazil one?
And this comes up because...
Was it Brazil or Mexico?
It was Brazil. It was very scary. It comes up because Jamie has uploaded art for the background of the card, so you can create your own card. So people have created mythical birds and, you know, cartoon birds. So Big Bird is one that people have created, and then they realize there's could be almost a whole expansion of all the
just
different
Big
Muppet
birds.
Yeah, because you got to realize that Sesame Street is not going to be just like dubbed over in other countries, because if they're learning the alphabet and the numbers, like they have to learn it in their native language.
Oh, that's true.
And so then, of course, they're going to change. Maybe not, of course. I didn't think of this, but they did decide to change some of the characters and creatures to be more
culturally,
I guess,
acceptable.
Yeah, or just
speaking of Sesame
flavor.
Street, did you guys know that the Cookie Monster eats fruits and veggies now?
That's sad.
What?
That's sad.
You didn't know that?
No.
He's expanded his diet. It is cookies and fruits and vegetables.
I am Cookie Vegetable Monster.
Is this like a Michelle Obama thing? I feel like she
I don't know what it is. I was excited to learn about it.
Stick with the cookies, man. You made it this long.
And carrots and broccoli. Come on. We got to teach the kids.
My name is Carrot Monster. Give me carrots.
That looks like a parrot.
Okay, wait. Have you seen?
So some of them do make sense.
Have you seen Brazil yet, Katie?
Yes.
Yeah, that was the first one she showed her.
Which
kind of ruined it.
It was kind of. It's pretty creepy.
It is a little creepy.
Actually, that looks like Big Bird's face, and it's just blue because Big Bird is a little bit creepy.
I think he has like black eye makeup.
This is the Turkish Big Bird. Is the same. He's just kind of a reddish orange,
a red version.
Yeah. And Mexico is a parrot.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And Brazil is a nightmare.
Yeah.
So going back to Jonah, I honestly think that Asia will be next.
Oh,
that's
really?
My guess.
What birds are in Asia?
Tons.
China. I know that,
Japan.
But is there any birds that
unique.
We
need?
Dragons.
That would be the mythical one.
Oh.
Seals and
maybe I think I need
walruses
more.
Walruses and
everybody.
Dragons. Are in,
I don't know what birds are.
But the reason I say that, I think Asia's next because Jamie has spent some time over in that part of the country, in that part of the world. I think that he would enjoy.
He was bird watching.
Like, he would enjoy that. So he might have told, like, Elizabeth, can we do Asia next?
That's just my guess. Are they going to have a whole section for the New Guinea birds? Because that could be its whole section on its own. Because that's where all the birds of paradise are.
Yes.
You're not telling the people, a.k.a. me, what is a bird of paradise? I don't know the birds.
Isn't
that a flower?
What birds are
they? It is also.
Are they named?
They're a whole species of birds, and they're all, like, super specialized, and they're all, like, ridiculous looking. You should look up Planet Earth and watch.
I've watched Planet Earth, but I like the sharks.
Okay. Watch the one about
I watched the walrus one.
About birds. They've got a whole section on that.
Oh, but walruses aren't birds. Sorry. I was about to say, I watched the Planet Earth about the walruses, and they were definitely on Antarctica, but then I remember they weren't birds.
So Antarctica would be cool.
Antarctica has 46 species of birds.
What?
That's putting ducks as a species. So okay.
They put flightless birds in
Oceania,
right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I honestly think the South America one is going to be pretty cool with all the colors.
Oh, yeah. All the parrots that are available and stuff.
But, yeah. So, I mean, that's for Africa, South America, Antarctica, and Asia. That's four that we know of.
They're gonna do one that's Kevin.
But that's the question. Do we know
can
all
we
the
name all
I don't know. You didn't know that walruses weren't birds.
What are the other five?
North America, Europe. Australia.
Five. Hold on a second.
We already did Australia.
How many continents do you think
I know.
There
we already
are?
Did seven. These other ones. There
Hold
are seven.
On. We're good.
There's only seven continents?
Katie, how many continents does he think there are?
I don't know.
Oh, hey, but
maybe
did you
he's
know?
Thinking of maybe he's thinking of that game. What is it? 11th continent or 12th?
Seven continents.
Is it just seven?
Oh, wow. Yeah, the one that numbers them for you. Hey, Jonah doesn't know the birds. I don't know the continents. We're good.
But I did learn there is a fifth ocean.
Four.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yes. I knew that.
Yes.
I don't remember what it
the
is.
The Southern Ocean.
Getting rid of planets, adding oceans. What's going on?
Oh, it's all different than when we learned it in school.
It is crazy.
I want to hear Jonah's hot take on Red Rising.
My hot take on Red Rising is... My hot take, well, I had to edit my hot take after you helped me. So my hot take is that the fleet track, the helium, the institute, and the sovereign token are just completely worthless.
I agree.
Don't even need them.
Yep.
Now, granted, if you are playing with that asymmetric power where you go first and last, that's the only time where you should keep the cards that let you score points off the sovereign
token. There's a couple that give you like 30 points.
Because you know you can get it.
Right.
If you don't have that, it doesn't matter. The only one that would be worth it at all to me would be the fleet track. Like, might as well go there. Institute, you have to fight for. Not worth it.
Yep.
Helium is just worth 3. Not worth it. So just go up the fleet track, get up to 6, 7.
And then go after cards.
You got to trigger game end, so you need to get up. You need to do something. And then just go after cards.
Go after cards. So if there's no cards that are face up, you just say, just start drawing blind like Sarah did. And she got lucky.
Yeah, I started drawing blind. I got a couple gold cards, which was nice. I ended up trashing them, though. And then
the golds.
I know. Well, the...
What?
I had other cards
that got banished.
Yeah, and I ended up getting a card that made everybody else lose helium. And
except for me.
I think that was... pretty powerful because it made everybody go down in points, and except
yeah,
for you, Kevin, and
three
I.
3 points.
Yeah, I
you
mean,
can get. I've played games with you getting 300 off your cards.
Sarah,
was me.
Right, Sarah had 250 points. Everyone didn't even get that for their whole score.
Yeah,
just in your card.
Right.
Yeah.
And people were probably fighting over the institute for what? Get some cards.
Yeah, it's all about.
But the thing is,
I got that
card that made everybody lose helium. But I didn't want to trash all the very powerful cards I had. You have to play a card every round, so you have to have something that you don't really want to keep.
That's
for scoring.
The point of the game. I figured it out. The point of the game is not about all the other stuff. It's about your friends in the end.
Mm. And getting a gold transmutation.
Now, I would say those other things are not worthless, but they're secondary to getting the cards because they trigger the end of the game.
Almost thirdary.
Yeah. Tertiary.
Fourth.
And if you're close in card score with other people, they can make the difference.
That's true.
Sure, but if you have...
I had 3 cards that gave me bonuses for my institute influence.
Well, you can keep those. So if that's
I
what
had,
you're doing,
I like
keep those.
Started with 2 of them, and I found a 3rd one, and so I ended up making like 40 points off of my off of the cubes that I dedicated to that spot. But I did have three cards that helped me do it.
Right.
Mm.
So I wouldn't have hit it so hard if
so
it hadn't.
So, for instance, I was sitting next to Chantel like when she starts playing this game, and she draws her starting hand of cards and says, oh, I'm keeping this one, and this one
the
whole time. And I said, Chantel, even with the bonus, that is a 30-point card. Get rid of that. There's 35s, 40s, 45. I've scored 50 off of a card once. Get rid of a 30. Why keep it? And then she kept it, and she got fifth out of six people.
Listen to Jonah.
Come on. You guys know at home.
Has she ever lost to you in that game?
I'm pretty sure. I'd have to go back and look at the
score. We have all the scores.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, man, we've covered a lot of ground. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about. Interesting game. Check out Red Rising. In this episode,
check out the Viewpoints video coming out today.
Oh, yeah. Check that out, too. And now, also, stay tuned because we got a bunch of stuff coming this episode. We're going to talk about our topic for this episode is Katie's top 10 video, which is coming out soon. Mm-hmm. We're going to make some predictions on that, I think. So hang around to the end because we're obviously going to be talking about WandaVision after the credits roll or whatever you call that. We've got some Kickstarters to talk about. We've got an interview in the episode. Right now, let's take a moment to give a shout out to our sponsor.
This episode is sponsored by Lycan Studio. Their game Bone to Pick is coming to Kickstarter soon, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in the Kickstarter Conniption.
Okay, there was one other game I wanted to talk about before we got whole into the episode. Sarah and I got a chance to play Hadrian's Wall, finally, from Garfield. Yeah, interesting. It's not a roll and write. What is it called? A reveal and write, maybe?
Yeah.
Also, yeah, worker placement going on kind of like crazy and deep for a scribble on your paper game. Pretty heavy. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Give us a rundown of the basics if you can.
Yeah, so you are playing as the Romans building the Hadrian's Wall in England, and the Picts, which are the attacking peoples, will come every round. You played six rounds, and so you're given a certain number of workers for the round, and you will use them to mark off the spaces, and you have two decently sized pieces of paper that are your player boards, and you're marking off all these spaces.
Yeah, it's like combined. It's definitely bigger than an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper covered in boxes to sketch.
Yeah, boxes, icons everywhere. Melissa would love this. And then you are trying to build the wall, but also build up some of the citizens in the area and culture and things like that. So, so many things going on, and you. At the end of the round, the enemy will attack, and so if you haven't built your wall up enough, you'll take some disdain, and then that can just increases in the amount of negative points you'll get at the end. So you're trying to do all these different things to gain some more workers and points, and like any good roll and write type game, you can just do these amazing chains of actions where I'm going to use a citizen to go here, and it's going to give me a builder worker, and then the builder worker is going to go build part of the wall, which then gives me a soldier, and then I'm going to mark off these 10 things. And it just keeps on chaining and chaining and chaining. So you play the round where you're individually working on your own sheet, and then once everybody is finished, you go ahead and reveal the cards, and hopefully you survive. So
yeah, each round you're gonna find out where they're attacking from. This game reminded me a little bit of Fleet. What is that? What it's called? Yep. Is that the whole name of it? Where like on the left side of your paper, you're kind of, or actually on your whole left paper, you're doing one thing, and then on the right, you're kind of upgrading the things that you're gonna do to be able to do them to do more on your left sheet. The interesting thing about this game though is that you do have workers that you're picking up whenever you scratch something off. And it's a really satisfying experience to start off with like five workers and two blocks. And then at the end of your turn, or at the end of the beginning of your turn,
like you start using them and all of a sudden you have more than you started with if you can play it correctly. So
yeah, it was fun. Just moving the little bits around, marking things off. It was a cool one. It was very, very enjoyable. I assume we'll probably put together some kind of video so you can check that out because Hadrian's Wall is pretty sharp. Really enjoyed it. All right. Without further ado, let's go to that Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption!
This episode, we'll be talking about six games coming to Kickstarter the week of February 22nd through March the 7th. So, Kevin, start us off.
All right. Well, Leader Games just announced an expansion to Root, one of Tantrum House's award-winning games back in 2018. Root was our best game of the year. Anyway, Root has quite a few expansions already, but they just announced the Marauder expansion, and this is going to include Warlord, Seekers, and a host of minor factions as well. The game, like I said, has two new factions, but also has some new gameplay as well, and introduces a new level to the conflict for the Woodland Hirelings. The small factions can be used at any player count and introduce surprising new power combinations in a chess-like tension to lower player counts en route, since we're all about chess nowadays as well.
Ooh.
So there's also a setup draft system suitable for both casual and competitive play that's included in this game as well. So if you're a fan of Root, check out the new expansion, the Marauder expansion. It looks like, would you say that's a badger, Melissa?
That does look like a badger.
It looks like one of the factions is a badger.
Oh, yeah, that's a badger.
I want to see that meeple. What's that meeple?
The meeple look like a badger?
A badgeeple?
A beeple? I'm not calling it a beeple.
No.
Anyway, check that out coming this week from Leader Games. Melissa?
Coming soon to Kickstarter, Lycan Studios is bringing Bone to Pick. This is a game for 2 to 6 players, plays in about 30 minutes, and it is a hand management game where you as a group are sort of teammates, but not really. So a little bit of a semi-cooperative aspect to the game. You have a hand of weapon cards, and an enemy will come out, and each player chooses secretly a card to play and then reveals the weapons. If all of the weapons combined beat the enemy, then you win that enemy. And whoever played the highest value card, there's a little bit of figuring out who ultimately won and gets to take that enemy as a trophy. So you're trying not only to win together, but be the one who actually gets that trophy. At the end of the game, you'll have 2 weapon cards left in your hand, and you want them to be high-valued weapons, but you might need to use the high-value weapons to beat the enemies. So it seems like there'll be a little bit of trying to convince people to play certain cards and kind of maneuver so that you don't have to get rid of your high cards. But you can completely lose if your combined value doesn't beat the enemy, the horde of 10 enemies that are going to be coming against you. So you kind of have to balance trying to defeat the enemies but not get rid of all of your good weapons. So that is Bone to Pick. It also has a kind of campaign option as well that you could play, or just a kind of one-off game. So that is Bone to Pick, coming sometime soon to Kickstarter from Lycan Studios. Jonah?
Yeah, so coming to Kickstarter on February 23rd is Orkonomics from Igrology. I think I said it correctly.
Sounded good?
Perfect. Okay. At least it sounded good. Anyway, this game is a area majority, an auction bidding type of game where, so the cool thing about this game, I've had a chance to play it, is that the board, the game board is consisted of these like pizza shaped puzzle pieces almost, and you put them together. And of course that means you can play almost like a different game board every time that you play. It's like a modular thing. And then in the game, you're basically like, so Orkonomics is a play obviously on economics. So what you're trying to do is establish these companies in these different sections of the board.
Of orcs, right?
Yeah, of orcs. And so it's like the sections are like normal sections of companies. Like there's tourism and smuggling and totemology and like food service and stuff like that. And you want to get these companies in the section. And you can also start startups that eventually will like grow up, basically level up and become companies in the section. And then when you get companies in the section, you basically have these cards that you can play that allow you to activate the sections where you're have a company there. And the basically activating a section is like all sorts of crazy stuff, like move other people out of sections, get more money. You know, you can auction off some of your companies to do some stuff. It's really interesting. Every time you roll the die, it's kind of got like a Settlers of Catan feel to it, because every time you roll the die, mm-hmm. it's going to activate a different section, basically.
Cool.
And it's based on the numbers on the die. So you activate that section, and then if you're there, you can do better stuff than people who aren't there, type idea. And it's first player to 11 points wins. Each company you get is a point, and then they've got some like goal cards off to the side that you can try to complete at the same time. Activating a section is pretty cool, but then you immediately go into a bidding mode too, to see who can bid the highest to put a company there. And so the money actually gets really tight in the game, which means sometimes you have to sell your companies for extra money so you can keep bidding and get more companies and stuff like that. So it's actually a kind of neat game. Honestly, the artwork looks fine. It's like all orcs and that world, if you're into that. It's coming to Kickstarter on February 23rd, Orconomics. And if that's your type of game, you should check it out. Katie, what do you have?
All right. So today I'm going to be talking about Zombicide Undead or Alive. This is an additional Zombicide.
No way.
Yes way. Coming from Simon.
What?
I know. Wouldn't believe it.
There's another Zombicide game coming.
Another Zombicide game. Now, this is going to be based off of the second edition that has the streamlined rules. And it is going to be themed Old West.
I'm just doing all the themes because now we can just start guessing.
Right.
Where's the pirate one?
The pirate one's coming, I'm sure.
Okay.
Where's the Cthulhu? Oh, yeah.
They already have a Cthulhu one.
But let's say from what I can tell, it's going to be fairly standard. They're going to be doing new classifications for some of the characters. There may be a few things in there that is a little bit different. They have really, to me, been surprisingly tight-lipped about some of the details of this one. But their Kickstarter is coming February 17th. If you are interested.
It'll be already live.
Yes, it will be live by the time this airs. And if you're interested in checking that out, maybe just seeing more of the details of that, you can check that out on Kickstarter. Will.
I am looking at the game Bamboo Bash from Imperial Publishing Incorporated. This is kind of a toyetic board game where it's made probably for kids. You have a giant plastic bamboo stave, sheath, something in the middle of the table. It's made up of a central plastic core, and then on the outside edge of it are four different green plastic bamboo leaves. And so it stacks probably like 8 or 9 towers tall. And on your turn, what you do is you take the bamboo paw, which is a panda paw on a bamboo stick, and you club, clash, slash the sides of the bamboo piece. Yeah. Trying to knock off the bamboo leaves.
So dexterity.
Dexterity, yes. You could hit it very hard and knock all of them off, but if you do, right, the whole tower comes down, and you get negative points for the inner part of the bamboo wall.
Isn't there a panda on top?
There is. And so if you end the game with the panda, you don't get any bonus points. So you don't want to knock the panda off. And if you're able to collect more green leaf pieces than anybody else, you win. I had a chance to play this with the boys yesterday, and it was actually pretty hilarious. Of course, the first whack at the thing is like uber powered. It knocks over everything. Ha ha, I won. No, you got like 36 negative points. You have to finesse. There has to be some skill and actual dexterity in the game to be able to win it. It is fun. The game tears down and sets up easily, so half of the game is just rebuilding the tower every time. But they had a great time with it. It was a lot of fun. If you're interested in some fun-looking, cool component kid piece games, check out Bamboo Bash.
I was going to say real quick, this is actually based off of an older game called Click Clack Lumberjack.
What?
Yep, yeah. Or Talk Talk Woodman.
That there you go. Yep. Same idea.
Played all the games.
I
huh?
know.
So yeah, I think that the company was going to try and do that, but they couldn't get the rights to it, so they were able to do this one instead.
Recreate the concept.
Recreate it. That's right.
It looks fun. It's got some fun art. Cool pieces. Check it out. Sarah, what are you looking at?
Finding Anastasia is coming to Kickstarter, and this is from Good Night Games, spelled K-N-I-G-H-T, so like the hero knight. And this is a deduction game where you are given roles of different people in the family in Russia, the monarchy, and there will be a few people who will be Rasputin's agents, and you will be asking questions of everyone in the game, trying to deduce who each player is, and ultimately trying to find out who is Anastasia before the end of the game. And so you will need to you'll be gaining gems along the way depending on how you do your turn, and then you'll be eventually revealing roles. You can use those gems to ask additional questions or gaining clues in the game, and then hopefully your side will be able to figure out who is Anastasia. That is coming to Kickstarter from Good Night Games. Kevin.
Well, I know Sarah said there were six, but we're adding some bonus games.
Surprise!
That's us. Meeples and Monsters is coming from AEG March 2nd. This is a bag building engine game, engine building game. And if you are familiar with bag building games, basically, I mean, this one, it's meeples in a bag. And throughout the game, you're being pulling meeples from your own bag, and they are different colors and they all give different powers. On the main board, you're placing your meeples to get more meeples or to get points or to kill monsters, meeples and monsters, hence the name. And you're trying to get more powerful meeples to put in your bag and get the more weaker colored meeples out of your bag, so that your bag is the best bag at the end of the game, because that will help you defeat more of the monsters. That's where you're going to get a lot of your points, is from defeating the monsters.
Yeah, and you can even upgrade your meeples, so now your red meeple is more powerful than it was earlier in the game. I think there's maybe three levels of upgrades, like a basic, a medium, and then a more powerful. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of interesting, deciding how you wanted to upgrade your meeples, not only build your bag, but even the powers of the meeples in that bag.
Yeah. So check out Meeples and Monsters coming from AEG. Sarah, you got one more too?
One more bonus one.
What?
Coming March 2nd as well is Caper Europe from Keymaster Games. This is from designer Unai Rubio and art from Josh Emmerich. And this game is a remastered game from the original Caper. It does change up some of the rules, so it is a slightly different game gameplay than the other version of Caper. So in the game, you're doing similar, where you are drafting cards. It is a two-player only game, and you will be drafting cards back and forth, taking turns, and there are six rounds. So three of the rounds, you'll be just drafting thieves, and they will go out on three different locations that are available in your game. And there are tons of different ways to set up the game with the location. So you can mix and match however you would like. And in the game, you will be placing the thieves out, and then the thieves can then, in later rounds, you'll be drafting gear to add to them, and they will allow you to do additional things. And these cards all have icons on them that will allow you to do things like steal art at that location, or gain coins to be able to buy gear in the next round. So there's lots of different things going on. They have a handy dandy little player sheet in this in Caper Europe, so you know what everything is going on in the game as far as icons and all the cards mean. And then for setup, you will have one main city location. So I believe there are three or four that will come in the game. There may be some more revealed in the Kickstarter, so it'll be interesting to look out for that. And from, let's say, Paris is, I think, the easiest one that you can start out with. In Paris, most of the cards have to do with stealing art, which kind of makes sense. And you will set up some locations, and then there are specific thieves that go just with the Paris deck that you'll build, and specific gear. So you'll set all that up and go ahead and play the sixth round. So it's a nice weight two-player game going back and forth. Depending on how you draft your cards, and what you leave for the other player, because you're going to get that hand right back, can be interesting. So looking forward to seeing how that Kickstarter ends up going. So Caper Europe from Keymaster Games on March 2nd.
I'm looking forward to Katie's top 10 board games of all time video.
Oh, yeah. Let's get started with our main topic for the evening.
Oh, yeah.
So the main question is, have you actually narrowed it down to 10?
I've been keeping this list for the past year.
Whoa.
Probably.
All right, good.
Changing things out, moving things around. I don't think the order is set, but I'm pretty sure I have the top 10.
Okay. Top 10. How many honorable mentions can we anticipate?
Absolutely none.
None.
Whoa.
So disciplined.
I am a stickler for the top 10 rules.
Oh, interesting. But top 10 rules like are meant to be broken.
Include
though.
Not no.
They're mentions. Just guidelines.
So your video is already live. So people really want to see all their games and all their glory and things like that. They can go watch your top 10 right now live on our YouTube.
Yes.
So
go watch it.
How many
Tell
games?
Tell me if you agree.
If you've been keeping it for a year, how many are new? This year.
New?
You mean 2020? Because 2021.
Right. Sorry, yeah.
Red Rising is probably not on the list.
1 year from this day, a year ago. Yeah, it doesn't have to be the exact number.
Let me look at my list
while she's
again.
While she's looking.
Well, here's the thing. What's do get some of these games as prototypes. So we do get to play
them. I've had them for a while.
Yeah. We've had them for a year, year and a half, and then the main game may have released.
Just published this year.
So we're going to be guessing.
I think there's probably two that are 2020 games.
Okay, cool.
But I may be off.
That's fine.
2020 was a weird year.
We'll help you out. We'll help you out, Katie. So Melissa's already started to write down some games here.
She's making her guesses.
So, but can we all say that we all know that Castles of Mecklenburg is on the top 10 list?
With confidence. We can say that.
Yes, you are correct.
That is correct. We've got one.
It is on the list.
The only one I was going to guess, if I know for certain, is on Katie's
list. Is?
Calico.
No.
Really?
What?
Oh,
I would have put money on that one, too.
Melissa just X'd it out.
No. She had it on the list.
All right, so Calico's on the list. All right, Melissa.
So I don't think we
I did really, really love Calico.
No, we definitely want to spoil because...
We want to spoil the whole list?
Right, because people sometimes don't watch the videos.
You go watch them, the videos.
Well, but we're also not listing in what order these are happening.
And they can't see them. That's not on your list. What is that, 11?
Maybe if I was doing honorable mentions.
But she's not.
But I'm not.
Yeah. Interesting.
So I think the thing I'm most interested in is not the specific games, but kind of like what is the KD gamer profile?
Oh,
so we
based
know
on my list,
right?
Oh,
yeah.
I don't
in
know.
General, like who, putting that. Together this list, people, you know, there's different types of gamers, obviously, and you know, some people. Sarah likes a little bit of everything. She'll play a party game. She'll play a heavy 4 hour, whatever. Do you have like a what's your forte? What do you think if you had to boil it down to like two or three mechanics? What are the ones that seem to shine through
the ones
on the
that
list?
Show up a lot.
Yeah.
The ones that show up a lot probably would be. games where you have to read other players.
Ooh, okay.
But not social deduction games.
Right.
Ones that you're basing your moves off what you think they're going to do.
Love it.
Interesting.
So I think, yeah.
That's opposite of Melissa. Oh, wait, no.
Yes and no.
She's like, well, Castles is on my list.
Other players are going to do.
Well, with Castles,
it's not something that you normally categorize games because it's not necessarily a mechanic.
No, it's like not. But it's something that is more prevalent in some games and not as prevalent in others.
It's a type of interaction.
Yes. So, like in Castles, it has that because as the master builder, you're having to set prices. And to be good at that, you have to determine what you think they're going to choose and what they're willing to pay for it. Otherwise, you will fail at that game, which is why Ryan has a hard time. Because he says that is his main downfall, is he cannot figure out what people want and what they're willing to pay. So,
yeah, for sure.
So that's my thing. So I like trying
I
to
play
read
that game with Ryan so
read
that way
people.
Can win.
He'll
have you played
play
Castles
with
yet?
You and Jonah, because you and he doesn't want to play with me anymore.
No. Interesting. Okay, so that I saw Melissa scratch off two more on her list. No, I don't know.
Yeah, she did.
what other? What's like the secondary mechanic?
Oh, Okay.
I mean, is it tile placement? I feel like you are a fan of tile placement.
I think Katie likes tile placement, so I was thinking Isle of Cats was might be on there.
Isle of Cats is not on there. I know.
Okay. Oh. Too creepy.
We're goodness. 1-3.
This right is
when we say we must mean
another
Kevin.
another common thing is it's I've heard this mechanic called several different things, but I'm going to describe it to you is a mechanic where everybody's given the same information or the same thing to work with, and then they have to just try to use it differently or better than other people are using it.
I love that.
That's kind of the bingo mechanic number 9.
Yes, that's on my top 10 list.
That's a good one. Like Tiny Towns?
Tiny Towns did make it on my top 10 list.
We've gotten 3 so far. Castle's
he's back on.
Oh, yeah. Melissa's marking off her list.
I enjoy those games as well. The funny thing is I usually don't win at those types of games. Like, roll and writes are one of those type, falls into that category typically, whereas somebody's rolling it, maybe they get one additional benefit, but everybody's working with the same pieces of information, and I like those.
That's because I usually do better than
I'm not
you.
As good at them, but I definitely enjoy that mechanic.
Are there any roll and writes on your top 10?
Yes.
Interesting. Interesting. I haven't thought of any of that because I just looked at your 2019 top 10 list. Tiny Towns was your number one.
Well, it like
of
I said, it's
year.
On.
Guess.
It's it made it on my top 10.
Katie. Santa Monica.
It is not on there.
Man, I gotta stop guessing.
She said there was only one from this past year.
She said two.
She
said
two.
Oh,
okay.
Two.
What is it?
Heroes or it's cartographers
is on the top.
Oh, Melissa just checked that one off.
Yep.
is there a Zombicide game?
No
Zombicide.
Tell Ryan.
I know.
It'll be on Ryan's top 10.
Ryan.
Shadowrun Crossfire.
Shadowrun Crossfire is on there.
Oh, good job, Katie.
All right, I have at least one co-op on my...
Right?
Yep,
I've played that with Katie and Ryan and have lost every time.
Well, I'm going to say that's honestly part of the reason why I really like that game.
It's hard.
Not because, as I say, not because I like losing, but because I like a really tough game. If I'm going to play a co-op game, I want it to be so hard that I'm losing most of the time. I want my win to feel like a win. And not like a, oh, cool, we made it.
To the next level.
Yeah. Mm. I like
Pandemic
that.
Season 2.
Wait, Pandemic Legacy? Is Pandemic Legacy on the list?
It is not. And part of that is because I can't pull it out and play it anymore. Okay. Like, I mean, once you've played it, you've played it.
That's good.
I did really enjoy it.
It's your love.
But these are my go-to, like.
Of all
if,
time.
If anybody says, hey, do you want to play? And I'm like, yes, every time. If I have to think about it and be like, meh, let's play something else, then Ned didn't make my top 10.
You said one of the games was on my shelf. Did you already pull it?
Not yet.
Oh, okay. Because I was looking and I saw Calico and I was like, oh, it must not be Calico. But she hasn't pulled it yet, so it doesn't matter.
Can you see the game right now
from where you're sitting?
I will admit that you've already guessed the game that I am going to pull off your shelf.
Cartographers.
It is Cartographers. Okay. Yeah.
Is
all the rest of them are on my shelf.
So it's not Between Two Cities.
No.
Have you played Cubitos?
I have actually not played Cubitos.
It's too new to be on your top 10 of all time. I mean,
I know.
Like, from the last year.
I don't know. How many plays do you have of Cubitos, Will? I feel like it's a lot.
Enough to
it's
make
more,
it more than
know.
Some other
it is,
games.
It is more than any other game we have played in probably the last year or year and a half. We have more plays of Cubitos than the other ones.
But still so new. Like, even when Scythe came out, I played it so many times. I even said in my top 10 back in 2017, and it had been out for a whole year. I was like, I can't put
I think
Scythe.
We played it like 4 or 5 times before we were reviewed it several months ago, and then we've continued but to just keep there, playing it.
It's there my number are games, one game of all time. I'm just kidding. It's not.
There are games that literally just like as soon as you play them, you're like, I love it. Yeah. I love this game. This is already there.
Will's never put a top 10 of all time video out. He's put 2 party games.
I will admit that when Melissa did it, I thought, oh, maybe there is hope I could do it. I don't feel like I can narrow it down. I love so many games.
It's only because I helped you do it.
You might have to go help me do it.
All right, well.
And as soon as we recorded it, I was like, oh but I want to change it.
No,
that's exactly
I,
what happened.
I'm going to put this caveat in my video.
What caveat?
It is that this is my top 10 of all time right as now. Of, you know,
1 hour
February,
before I started recording.
February, you know, 2021.
No, that's good because I did mine back in 2017 and looking
and it's
back.
It's changed?
Oh, yeah, it's changed. I mean, it's been 4 years.
Because
yeah.
of new games or you actually found older other games that you like?
No,
that
not older games, but definitely games that have come out since then.
Like, just kind of bump
like
out
War Chest,
those
Cubitos.
Other games.
War Chest, sounds like a great game.
Kevin has never played yet.
War Chest sounds like a wonderful game.
I feel like it would definitely be on your list.
Interesting.
Is it on Will's list? It might be.
Would you put War Chest in your top 10?
Top 10 of all time?
It's a good
I really
game.
Have no idea. It is good, but it is.
It's a good time.
I don't know if it would be, though. It's like 11.
Is Cubitos better than War Chest?
10.5.
It's more fun, yeah.
Then you can't put two AEG games on the same.
I had to equally represent all publishers.
No.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm just saying.
Katie's like, every game I have is from.
All right, Melissa, you've got a couple other games on there.
Other people can guess, because I don't think these are good guesses.
Oh. Does anybody else have any more guesses?
Is Ladies and Gentlemen on your list?
Oh, it is not, actually.
That is hilarious because Ryan kept bringing that
up. Ryan loves it. And it was on his top 10. I enjoy it.
He hasn't done his top 10 yet.
But not nearly as much as Ryan does.
Oh, Ryan has done his top 10.
Did you do your top 10?
Yeah. I did, yes.
Okay. Was Battlestar Galactica?
She did a top 20.
It is. Okay. I did top 20 because I couldn't hold myself to top 10. And I did have two games on there that had come out recently.
Calico was one of them.
Calico and Santa Monica that I was really enjoying getting those to the table a lot.
Yeah.
But I didn't feel like I had played them enough to consider top 20.
I'm assuming Battlestar is not on your list then.
Oh, no.
Don't Mess with Cthulhu probably is.
No.
No, it's not either.
Trying to think.
If that's not on Will's number one game of all time, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know what
Funky Chicken or whatever.
Happy Salmon, number one game ever.
He just does his top 10 party games again.
Right, it's the same video.
It's the same exact video. Can't put Cubitos on
it. Yeah, I've already done it. It could be a party game.
Not a party game.
That's not a party game.
That's not a party game.
I hadn't played it, but
give
I know
us,
it's not
give
a party
us,
game.
Okay, just give us a hint. So we've talked about 5 of your 10. Give us a hint. Is it a co-op game? Is it a worker placement?
Have we played it?
You have definitely played all of the other games that are on this list.
Ooh, okay, good.
I have a couple of them. 3 of them are older,
Scrabble.
Not like that. But I mean, they're not within the last 5 years.
Okay, give us what is the mechanics on some of them?
And who designed them and who illustrated them?
Is there any more Bezier games in the list? Like silver.
Oh, putting me on the spot.
Silver.
Trying to remember all the makers.
Did the crew,
who makes
the
all
crew.
These.
I had the crew made her list.
I don't think the crew made her list.
It did not make my list, although I do like the crew.
And trick taking.
Silver on your list?
Some of these would be considered like classic, as in like foundational for.
Oh, like Ticket to Ride sort of thing?
These, yeah, that type of game.
I know. Rise of Augustus.
It is. That is on.
Played that many times with Katie.
That is on.
I still like it more than Ecos.
Yeah. I tried to get Jonah and Chantel to play that
right
with me another day, and Ryan was like, no, we're playing Ladies and Gentlemen.
It happened.
Yeah, it did. And we lost terribly.
Wait, you and Ryan lost?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Melissa?
Is Rise of Augustus the one that's recently been re-implemented? Is that Via Magica? Mm-hmm. So there's a new...
I know. I need to check that out. I still haven't played that, but I should check into that.
Lords of Waterdeep or anything like that?
No.
Nah, I can't see you.
Am I going to just tell you eventually? You're going to still guess.
I had Firefly or Battlestar as a potential guess.
Okay, so Firefly is on there.
That makes sense.
That's my one super long game. It's very nostalgic for me because we pull it out like at Christmas and at Thanksgiving and at New Year's. Whenever we've got a couple of days off, we can devote like, we're going to play this a couple of times while it's all out and covering the entire table because we've got all the expansions.
The other one on your list, Melissa, say it.
Oh. Final guess.
It's probably more of a Ryan. I had Pathfinder down.
Oh, you know what? I wasn't even considering RPGs. I was doing strictly
Pathfinder
tabletop.
Pathfinder is like on the border.
Star Wars Imperial Settlers of something.
Star Wars Assault?
What's it called?
Imperial Assault?
Oh, no. And let me tell you,
I'm just mostly listing Ryan's games.
That's the only game that I ever have rage quit.
Ooh! And
multiple rage quit.
Multiple?
because it's scenarios.
Right.
And I finally was just like, I'm not playing this game anymore.
And for you painted a bunch of those.
For the sake of our marriage, we're not playing this again.
Wow.
These are the details. It's because Ryan's so much better than I am at tactical movement.
Oh, sure he is.
That yeah. I just like, I'm, we're, this is like a huge campaign and I'm just losing every game. It's just every night I'm going to lose a game to you. And it was super annoying.
Favorite game. That's super fun.
All right. Any more on the list?
Well, of course, there's more on the list. There's ones you haven't guessed,
all right.
But
well,
do you want me to just
say what they are?
What? No. Watch the video if you want to know what Katie's other three super awesome best games ever.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
And if you don't watch it, maybe we'll talk about it next week.
Well, there's three on our list that we haven't heard, and we don't even know what order they're in. I'm going to put Castles at number one. That's my guess. You don't have to tell us if we're right or not.
Yeah. Just watch. You can watch the two.
I can watch
Kevin?
The video. I will be watching
you
the
watch
video.
It.
Will. He'll watch right. it. He'll comment on it first and like it.
Probably. Kevin's always on.
I answer all the comments. I don't answer them. I read them. So.
And then he likes them.
Yep. And if they say, Kevin, I really like your hair, I'd be like, thanks.
Getting 30 comments on Katie's video. Really like Kevin's hair.
No, I'm saying like in the couple's video, they mentioned that a couple times. Like
they're like they've never seen it without a hat on.
Oh, I was gonna say it's because they never see
right,
your
in
hair,
the couple's
Kevin.
Video. They're like,
why
I had to
wear your hat.
I didn't know if it was like acceptable.
You can't eat dinner at a fancy restaurant with a hat on.
Think you can.
How many comments? I'm still waiting
for
comments
Annie
on like
showed
our
up in pajamas, so there's true. Always that.
Our fork placement. Have we gotten any of those?
People were glad that we moved the glass out of the way.
I know. I noticed that too when I watched it. I was like, why is that glass right
because
in the middle of the box?
Because it was in the right place. And we were concerned that people would be like, your glass was in the wrong spot.
Yeah, but really we wanted to see the game.
Right, I was like, show me the stinking game.
Move that out of the way.
But I will say,
I was surprised Will took that long to move. I was like, Will's normally right on top of that. I'm surprised it took like three or four games for him to notice that.
I think it was two. I did notice it early.
It was like three.
Three?
It was at least three.
People were glad it got moved. But they also were saying, this is like, people were coming. This is the best like video they've ever seen. Like for
well, then buckle up, people, because we're about to do mind blowing stuff.
That's right. Our next top 10 one should be amazing.
I the next top 10 one will be good.
Yeah.
But there's one other idea that we've thrown around recently that I think is better. It's the best thing in my opinion.
Really?
This is the best. It would just be so good.
Is it top 10 list?
I mean, we can do whatever we want with it.
Does it involve trains?
No,
trains.
No. Nobody knows what you're talking about, Jonas.
Oh, trades? Oh, that would be a great one, too. You guys don't want to do it.
I'm okay with doing it. I just don't think it's going to get that many views.
Believe. Not with that attitude.
Kevin just doesn't want to get shot with a paintball gun. That's what it boils down to.
If we put paintball guns in the video, will you watch it? Let us know.
If we shoot Kevin with those paintball guns, will you watch it?
Yeah. I mean, I've seen videos that do stuff like that. And for board gamers, they're like, oh, that was fun. But it doesn't go viral. So
we need it to go viral. Everybody, if you help us go viral, we'll let you shoot Kevin.
Okay, that's fine. I'd be fine with that. I'm fine with that. It's fine. It's fine. All right. Are
Nobody
you gonna tell us what this idea is or off? Are we doing this off mic?
Off mic.
Okay.
Oh.
It's time to talk about other stuff.
Okay.
TV shows.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Is it time to end this?
We should probably wrap it up. But I think we do need to say one other thing. I think Kevin and Melissa are going to be part of Castle Tricon, which will be coming this weekend.
Yep.
So if you, we were part of this last year, which was a lot of fun. CGE, Heidelberg, and one more company?
Horrible Guild.
Horrible Guild are putting on a second online virtual convention. And it was a lot of fun to be a part of last year. They've got one coming up this weekend. Okay. I think that does wrap it up for the episode. So we're going to say bye, but hang around to the end if you want to hear a little bit about our thoughts on WandaVision.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's Barry, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.
We're back.
I'll be back.
So, man.
It's been at least two weeks.
Two episodes since we've last chatted about it. Craziness going on.
Do we know
loving
what episode
it.
Numbers these
so
are?
We talked about 1, 2, and 3, which was the 50s, 60s, and 70s. We have not talked about the 80s and 90s.
That's all we haven't talked about? I feel like there's so much more happening.
Can we skip to the end?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about the hotness crazy.
I thought we were going to have to watch Vision Die again.
Oh, right, when he left?
I was like, how many times are you going to show it to us? Oh, we know.
He's leaving the compound, and he's going to just...
I know.
Get sucked back in. So here's the crazy thing. I think he is dead, right? We all think he's dead?
I think she also has her dead brother's body.
Ooh. The body?
No. But that's not him, though.
No, I think
did you not see when it flashed?
I think she reanimated Vision, so I think he's alive again.
I don't think he is. I think the reason he couldn't get out is because he was just a figment of her imagination.
Yes. He is dead.
Here's my...
He's piecing them back together. No, he's dead.
She stole his body.
I think this is what happens. Though
she might be like...
In the movies, they say she's the only one that can remove the stone and like she could make it happen. Like she could mess the stone up. Like
I do remember this.
And then he would remain alive. So they were working on that.
I need to go watch this right now.
They were working
on that. She was trying to like undo...
If you do it... He'll survive.
I thought she was.
And then she didn't want to do it.
I thought she definitely was going to kill him.
And then
she thought she would, but she didn't want
to
do it.
She stole his body. I think she figured out a way to make him work, but I think it's in proximity to her. Honestly, I think it's her powers are sustaining him.
I agree with that. That's right. She's reanimated him.
He has to be near her to maintain life.
So, how do you explain her brother?
I don't know about that. That's a great question.
Let's pause on that for a moment because I want to talk about that too. But let me go back to Kate's thing.
Okay.
I thought specifically that whole idea was if she removed it, it was going to kill him. Did I misunderstand that?
No.
They said she could remove it. She didn't want to because she was like, I love him. I don't want him to die.
Right.
It wasn't one of the
movies. I think it was going
to
kill him. I'm pretty sure. Here's my thought. They're tracking something from their little computer screens.
The vibranium?
Right. Right. They're tracking Vision. Like they know where he's at. So he can't just be a figment of her imagination. It has to at least be like the stone or something moving around.
No, he's actually there. They have video. It shows video footage of her breaking into the lab and taking his body.
So is his dead body floating around inside there?
She's animating this man.
He's in the reality.
Power.
Yeah.
He's a computer.
She has Mind Stone power. Is it Mind Stone? Not Mind Stone.
Yeah, I think it's Mind Stone.
She has Mind Stone power. That's her whole power, Mind Stone.
Like her personal power is like chaos magic.
From the stone.
I think
from her mutant ability.
It is from the stone.
She had powers before the stone.
It's from one of the stones. It might be a different one.
Her power is from the whatever the red stone is.
In the Age of Ultron.
Where is Ryan? Ryan, we need you.
I'm looking it up.
Her powers come from the Mind Stone and include telekinesis, energy manipulation, and neuroelectric interfacing.
What? You need to read the whole sentence, which says her powers likely come from
kinesis.
And the Mind Stone is the one that was in Vision's forehead, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's all we need to know.
I agree with you.
I think you're wrong.
No, Will.
Both her brother and
we'll
her.
We'll agree to disagree.
Okay.
I think she has her brother's dead body in there as well. Because it flashed and it showed the bullet holes and stuff. She's got her brother's dead body.
That's just her memories
as well.
Of stuff.
No,
why did she break in and take Vision's body?
Did you see how shocked she was when she saw him at the door?
Yeah,
though?
I think he's from the other dimension.
Another dimension?
Well, yeah.
The multiverse.
I'm on board
He's
with this.
From the multiverse.
No, I'm not on board with this.
He's from, so we've already seen, and this will bring in other characters now. I mean, we already have Spider-Verse, all the different Spider-Man from different...
So the Spider-Verse is recognized as an official part of Marvel canon, MCU action.
Is it?
So in that cartoon, they opened up the possibility of the multiverse, which is a popular theme in the comics.
Oh, I think it is coming a live action one.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people theorizing like this is the actor from the Fox movies, so this is where we pull in
the X-Men. Oh, that would be awesome.
Right?
Well, we knew X-Men were coming.
I love X-Men.
I'm not sure I would love that.
Marvel doing X-Men is what we've been waiting for.
Oh, Marvel to do X-Men?
Yeah.
X-Men is on Disney Plus also. You should watch it.
Yeah.
Watch one and two.
Anyway. Good job catching up. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I think he's alive or dead. I don't think he has the body. Maybe that seems weird. How would she have gotten it? He like blew up when the planet.
She went. Why would she go get Vision's body? She didn't need the body. She has her brother's body.
No, I think you're like out on a limb there. He died years ago. It wouldn't be a body anymore.
Yeah, they actually have him like go or have her going into the place and getting the body parts.
Vision.
A Vision.
So, yes, Vision. Oh, no brother.
Oh, the brother thing? I don't know about the brother. I don't know.
She's got the body.
Do you know, we need to look at the timeline on this.
I'm more upset about the timeline because there was a spider. There's, what is it? What, there's two movies after? No, there's just one. Spider-Man Far From Home. Mm-hmm. So why, you didn't tell us any of this during Spider-Man? You just left us with Peter Parker going on field trips?
But no, listen.
You didn't tell us anything.
This is swords keeping stuff quiet. Apparently,
this is after the snap. This is after the blip. Everybody's returned.
It's only like a week after the blip, though.
No,
it's right after the blip.
Maybe a month.
Yeah,
because it was 3 weeks, and after the main
been 4 decades.
What's
of television,
the woman?
So.
What's the main?
Rambo.
Rambo, yeah.
Oh,
she
yeah.
returns.
She's grown up.
She's the first one to report in after 3 weeks, mm-hmm. after the blip, come back. So it's been at least, what?
1 month.
5 years at least since her brother died. Because that's how long people disappeared, and he died before that. So what, six, seven years?
He's been dead a long time. The body is...
And his body was on that like floating island planet. Well, I don't know what you want to call
it. They got crushed.
Yeah,
and
I don't think he made it.
But if it's from the other movie, then the other guy, I don't know if Quicksilver died in the X-Men movie, did he? I don't know if we can look that up.
I need to watch Spider-Man Far From Home to figure out where everyone is.
He did not die in the other movie.
After the blip came back.
They definitely have like...
They're not in there at all.
Right, they just kind of faded over it. Like, it was terrible. And back to the new movie that we're having.
Right.
Did you see the meme where he describes everything that happened to Ant-Man?
I didn't see it.
It's a funny meme. You should check
it out. I'm just learning where everyone is at.
They're all back now.
I bet you they're not going to explain anything to us until the Winter Soldier and the Falcon.
We're going to talk about that next when it's come out in March, right?
I bet they're not even going to tell us anything until they bring in other people.
Oh, okay.
Not bring in other people until the next show.
Yeah. So one other thing with the show is her children.
Mm-hmm.
So they've made several, huh?
Are they real people?
I know. That's the big
question. They're in comics, right?
They are in the comics, and she uses Mephisto's like soul, and he's considered like the devil in, and she basically takes pieces of him and creates her two kids.
This sounds
in the comics.
Bizarre.
She's a much weirder character in the
show. They're just trick or treating.
They are, but her brother calls them
smashing
demon
pumpkins.
Spawns.
Does he?
Yep.
Wow.
There's a line in there where he's like, go get some candy, demon spawns, or something like that, or you're acting crazy. It's like he says something and specifically calls them that.
I didn't make the
connection. Why was everyone like frozen away from Wanda?
She can only like focus.
She can't maintain
on her close vicinity.
Yeah. She couldn't maintain
too
that
much
far
energy
out.
And
required.
Then she just made it how much bigger? Right?
She wasn't focusing.
Nobody was expecting that. I mean, obviously nobody was expecting that.
That was great. I actually loved that scene.
I did too. I was like, what?
She's way too powerful.
Yes, she is. But she's going to have some sort of nervous breakdown.
She's
already, things are already going out of her control.
For what? How did we lose Tony? For what?
Maybe there's a Tony in another dimension.
No, I'm going to be upset if that happens.
Right. I think Robert Downey Jr. is out. So
I'm going to be upset if that happens.
I really have been enjoying that they have been kept with the theme of every decade with the TV series.
The intros.
So they just did the 90s, and now I'm like, oh, what TVs are they going to do in the 2000s?
Their commercials are so dark.
Oh,
I love
you
talking
about the shark
animation shark. But
I remember seeing those that looked just like that.
Capri Sun, pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm like,
absolutely.
I've seen this commercial.
my childhood. This episode was very much like Malcolm in the Middle, but that was in
the
2000s.
The Malcolm in the Middle Kitchen. Yeah. It was
that
the
was
Malcolm
in
the Middle Kitchen, hands down. 100%.
Yeah.
I've seen
I felt
the
like
whole
they
show.
Skipped the 90s, though, and jumped to 2000s.
And then he was laying on the couch. I was like, oh, that's Francis from Malcolm in the Middle laying on the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Malcolm in the Middle.
And even the way the kids addressed the TV, like breaking the third wall, was funny. That was interesting.
Right.
fourth wall, five walls, how many walls are ours? So, yeah, question on the kids, though. Are they real? Seems weird. Like, she couldn't grow them up in real life.
They were doing it on their own. They even make comments throughout that you can't control children. And they are the first thing that she had to, like,
that she couldn't control.
She couldn't control. Like, she actually begs them. She said, no, please don't make yourself grow older. You can't just run away from this. Like, that's the first time she had to ask somebody.
She was telling them exactly
somebody.
Not to do exactly what she was doing.
Right.
I know. And I think there was some realization in that. I think you could kind of see it in her eyes. She was thinking that through. But
yep. Especially when the dog died.
But it was the first thing she acknowledges that she couldn't control.
The dog's body is...
There is something with the dog in the comics.
What?
Like it's like a reanimated dog that comes back to life.
Creepy.
Yep.
I don't know what
Just you wait.
Bring it back.
So next episode, is Vision back? And does he remember what just happened?
Oh, he remembers.
Remembers?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if he does.
Oh, as in, like, he went out of the...
Oh, I mean, he'll remember that part, but I don't think he's going to, like, remember his former self.
Oh, no.
I think that was a hard reboot on a computer. He woke up with factory standards.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what happened. I think it's interesting that Vision has the ability to, like, pull people out of it. I don't know what that's about. And I don't know why
powers.
And I don't know why he only does it, like, once in a while.
Wouldn't he just free everybody and then have them leave?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't get it either.
It's very weird.
I think he doesn't know what to think of it.
He doesn't know enough about the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not sure what's going on.
He was like super good. He had to always be good.
Right.
So maybe that makes sense.
I heard that the last three episodes, or I don't know what's left, are all going to be hour-long episodes, which I'm very excited about.
Yep.
These half-hour things are killing me.
I hate the half-hour thing because 18 minutes of it is like filler.
Right.
Like, I'm interested in it, but like, I don't need the commercial. I need you to tell me what's going on.
There's only six episodes and we've seen five. There's only one more episode.
One more? What did I read wrong on the internet? Is there
only
bonus
six
episodes?
That's terrible.
There's only one left?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're seeing this right here, right?
Was the last one an hour and I just didn't realize it?
No.
Well, unless
no.
it's
one of them was
the
like 40 minutes and then the next one was 30 again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to need me a good hour-long episode.
Well, because they're not having to fit it into a normal TV
right,
schedule.
Give me a full
like,
movie
whatever.
Is what I want.
Do we know the details of when
the next movie,
Doctor Strange, is coming out?
I thought the next one was the backstory on
Black Widow. Yeah,
Black
that's
Widow.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like that's in the past.
There must be more than six.
I hope so.
There's got to be more than
I need
six.
More than
Because they just said the sixth one was the...
One that we just watched. The one
that happened to 20 season episodes hour a piece.
Right? Yeah. It's when the budget was literally your fake living room instead of a million special effects and 1,000 famous actors.
Right.
Yeah.
Man, interesting stuff. It's definitely pulled me in. It sucked me in. I saw some great comments on Facebook. Somebody said, I just watched all 29 seasons of CVSI Crime Scene Minds of Detectives. But man, the first few episodes of Wanda are kind of slow. I don't know if I can make it.
I think they were strategically released the first and second episodes because they knew the first one was like, people are going to be like,
so
what is this?
So small, yeah.
Nine total. The last one will be March 5th.
March.
And the other show starts like March 1st.
March 14th or
March
14th. Yeah, okay. Something like that.
Just
yeah.
Keep it going. Episodic for the year.
It's a week off is what it is. We didn't need a week off. They're going to that ending episode of WandaVision is going to be
It's going to be killer.
It's going to be crazy.
And we're going to need the extra week to recover.
Do you think there's going to be
the cliffhanger?
Do you think
so
there's only one season of WandaVision?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
I think so.
I think it leads it's basically this is my theory. They took what could have been the time and length of a movie, but because it was broken up into episodes for the show. It's
9. That's a long movie. 9 30-minute episodes.
Well, I mean, there's been 3 or 4-hour long Marvel movies.
That's like 4 episodes.
Yeah, right? But these
that's
are 20 minutes. Once you take out the credits.
That's true.
It's
are we watching
minutes.
The credits or are we just going through that now?
I have. We leave.
I watched the last one.
You leave them up, and supposedly,
I watched the first one. I was like, I'm out of here.
All of those things in there mean something.
I was going to say, I watch, and every time I watch it, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I just saw something new.
Yes.
That's what I was like, was this your last time?
They definitely had the boys in the last one.
And that's why I watched it.
I fast forward real slow.
That was just in case. Yep. You know what I mean? I agree.
Fast forward real slow. Yep.
That after the credit scene is going to be one of them. I for sure.
Yep. We'll know about it on the internet. People will be like tweeting about it and stuff.
Yeah. So. Before you even can watch the episode, somebody will have already figured it out.
The first comment will be like, stick around for the end.
Yeah. Somebody is probably looking at them as soon as they come out and fast forwarding all the way to the end just to check it real fast.
Just so they can post it on Facebook.
It's hard to get on the internet on Fridays. It's hard. You gotta watch first.
Well, thank you guys for hanging around until the end. We'll have more fun stuff in a week or two. See you guys then.
Bye.
Bye.
That was the weakest bye.
Bye.